Well, we got a new name. We got a new structure to the podcast page, and there's a new feel here, all right? So get on board, because when the boat leaves, and you're not on, you're going to be late. And we don't like people who are late. It's not how Tom Coughlin works. I'm sorry, this is the wrong sport. Wrong sport. It is the Pitch Invaders podcast, and we are invading your speakers today. Not your radios yet, but a little new feel to the show, all right? Follow us on Twitter, at Podcast Invaders. I had to drop the cue spot, all right? We have so many different people on this show that I hate, like... See, I'm, like, self-deprecating. I don't mind when people make fun of me. So, I didn't like the fact that the show was, like... It felt wrong. But this feels better, and we're happy to be on a podcast that now starts to represent soccer and the sport and not an adult magazine subscription. All right, I'm Tom Quinlan. The crew has not changed. Kev Coleman stays to my right. Hello, Kev Coleman.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's all Wednesday.
Right. We'll talk with Boston College's assistant coach, John Murphy, today. You lived up by B.C. for a little bit.
Yeah, over the summer, I lived up at B.C. My sister is a graduate of Boston College. My best friend goes to Boston College, so sure. I got close ties to Boston College.
Did you party at Boston College?
I have.
What's better, Boston College or Boston University? Oh, now I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, here's the thing. I'll be honest. I've never partied at BU.
Okay, so that's fair. So they're out. Okay.
Yeah.
Is BC the number one party school in Boston?
Yes.
Massachusetts.
Oh, I don't know. I hear UMass is insane, so I don't know.
All right, so now you've seen BC. You went to UConn when they won the national title last year.
Good memory.
Good memory, that.
Yeah.
BC or UConn?
Oh... You know what? I'm going to still give it to the Eagles, Boston College.
Even though that you're from Connecticut.
Yep.
Your parents are going to smack you.
No, they won't. They're going to shake my hand, give me a hug, give me
a kiss
on the cheek.
Are they Duke people? Are they not UConn people?
I mean, we'll root for them. No,
right.
We have no family ties to UConn. We're strictly BC.
You might be the only family in Connecticut not to have family ties to UConn.
Seriously, I think my whole entire high school is at UConn. Because I went to, like you said, the national championship game last year when we watched the game at UConn.
Yeah.
I was walking around campus saying, oh, I went to high school with you, went to high school with you, went to high school with you. Like, just all around, just walking around. I saw like 20 kids I went to high school with. It was insane.
There you go. So, BC, Kevin Coleman has a better time there.
Absolutely. Right. You can find me in the mods.
We'll talk with, I don't even know what that is. All right. Don't start like having people riot because of this. Like,
no.
It's an invasion, but like we're not.
No, the mods are a good place. It's like it's the senior living. It's
okay.
A gated community for all seniors, and it's just a wild time. It's a good time.
No.
So.
All right. Well. That should be good. We got to go up to BC and party. We should do like a, you know what we should do with this podcast now?
We should go on the road.
We should go on the road.
Wow. Tom Quinlan, you are a genius.
I'm not a genius. I appreciate you like being good to me today. Lil Brown right there. Lil Brown on. We should
That's
go on a tour
nice.
Of these no, I'm kidding. You know, come on. We should go on a tour of these places and since we did the rebrand and all, but we'll talk more rebrand stuff later. Obviously, Brian Speaks is on tomorrow. Will Blasini will be back tomorrow. A lot of good stuff with Boston College soccer. I guess we got some Revs coaching over there.
Yeah.
And this guy, John Murphy, was the assistant coach for this team when this team was winning Eastern Conference championships back in the early 2000s.
Back in the Twelman days.
Back in Twelman days. So we'll get a little insight on that, which Coach Murphy, he was a Quincy guy too. Quincy kid. Don't ever step in Quincy without coming with the kids from Southie if you're coming from the North Shore. Because South Shore kids don't roll like that.
See, when you, it's kind of hard because you try to do a Boston accent.
I try so hard.
And you like mix it and mash it. Your New York and Boston accents. And it's just like, I'm not sure. That's like a Connecticut <It's> accent.
There you go. That's somebody from New Haven. Right on the line. Are you a New Englander or are you from the tri-state? All right. So Revs lost 1-0 the other night. We talked a lot about it yesterday with Brian and Will. What did you think about the game?
I thought it was slow paced. It seemed like the midfield was kind of slow. It just didn't really seem like the Revs really had a strong feel to the game.
You didn't have that same punch that you've had for
Absolutely.
A while now.
Absolutely. And we got to hope that they come out with a fire this Friday night.
Do you think not starting Jermaine Jones hurt this team?
not necessarily because I know he's still hurting from his injury, but I think if you bring him on, I think he still provides a huge spark in the midfield.
Right.
I don't have a problem with it. If it continues, I might. So we'll see down the road. We'll see what happens Friday night, what Jay Heaps wants to do.
Should you start him Friday night against Kansas City, considering the magnitude of the game?
Yes.
Okay. I'm cool with that. Do you think that this team, because they are 3 points back in the point column, they're three back in the points column with Kansas City in terms of whether or not this team could have an outside chance of finishing at second. New York is 1 point behind them in fourth place. Where do you see New England realistically finishing up right now?
Realistically, I think they'll end up in third. I think they'll stay where they are. I think the Red Bulls will stay at four. Kansas City is going to take the Eastern Conference.
So you think Kansas City leaps over DC United?
I think so, yeah.
So that you think KC still has an outside chance at first?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Absolutely. I think they're always a dangerous team. I think DC United is a great team as well. No disrespect to them. They've had a great season, but right. I think Kansas City is going to make a spark at the end of the year, and they're going to go number one. I like to see the Revs finish two, even one as well. If they go on a hot streak. But I can see them realistically staying where they are at third, making the playoffs, and hopefully making a run at it.
Well, the point I made yesterday was this. New England is 7 wins, 2 losses, no ties against teams this year that played in midweek games. Kansas City had a 3-0 dominant win last night over Ray Alistelli. And they really didn't overexert their guys. If anything, they came out with a lineup that's probably going to look a little bit similar to what we could see Friday night, maybe with the exception of Tony not being in there, but Palmer Brown, too, being in there. Palmer Brown started in the back with Matt Beasler yesterday, which, if you're a U.S. men's national team fan, this is great. If you're a Kansas City fan, you were sitting on pins and needles because Palmer Brown didn't have the greatest of days, but you can expect that Orland Collin will probably be back there at center back on Friday night. And, two, you saw when New England beat Kansas City here a couple of weeks ago that Collin's absence made a difference in that game. And Collin was sent off with a red card in the first time New England and Kansas City played. Didn't even play at all. Saw no action when Kansas City came back here for a second time. So rest assured, you're going to get the best out of Orland Collin that probably he's seen all year. Because if there's one team right now that Kansas City wants to just push off their high horse, it's New England, because New England has had Kansas City's number all year long.
And they're right behind them, too.
On their heels.
Yeah, they're right on their heels. And this game is going to be not only chippy, it's going to be very physical. And I think we're going to see a ton of goals, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think we're going to see a free fall of goals.
Well, it all depends on whether or not the Revs can... as long as the Revs can keep the offense of Kansas City at bay, and you make it a midfield game where, hey, you have to beat us at the 50-yard line in order to at least get anything generated offensively, which is what the Revs have done at times this year. So, we'll see what lies ahead for Friday. As I said, tomorrow, still waiting on confirmation from Simon Borg from MLSsoccer.com to get him on.
Nice.
That's where we look like we're heading for tomorrow. They've got MLS is doing New York City FC and Orlando City in expansion priority draft. So I guess that'll happen today at 2 o'clock. Obviously, if you're listening to this past 2 o'clock, you can see what the base of the teams look like for New York City FC and Orlando City SC. If you recognize any names as a U.S. soccer nerd like we are, then you will be excited.
David Villa.
Lampard. Oh, I'm still waiting for one more designated player to go to New York City FC. Remember, Kaká's got his deal, designated player set up with Orlando City. We'll see if Orlando City keeps on making splashes. Juan Agudelo is still in purgatory of MLS or soccer hell. We'll call it soccer hell for Juan Agudelo, and probably he's going to land up in Orlando City SC.
And is that MLS Super Draft, that's on ESPN2, right?
That is on ESPN2, and starting to put feelers out there. Nothing official yet, but we could be live down at the Super Draft this year.
Really?
Right on the draft stage.
Wow.
Not on the stage, but I should say right down there in the heat of it all during the Super Draft. All 30 rounds, live Pitch Invasion podcast, invading America.
Invading the draft.
That's what we. I'm serious. We really want to be at the draft this year. That is one of the focuses.
Where is the draft this year?
The draft is in Philadelphia, so okay. It's only a drive down the road.
Not bad.
Only a drive down the road. So there's that.
City of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love. Waiting on Coach Murphy. Be on in about 2 minutes here. Did you see yesterday was National FIFA Day?
Oh,
did National I see take that? Off from work or school to play FIFA all day, day.
My roommate and I woke up and he went and got FIFA 15. He bought it.
So that was the first thing he did.
He didn't even think about class. He went straight to Best Buy.
Okay.
No, he went to
That's
Target.
A smart man.
He came back and said, "Kev, I got the last FIFA 15 in Target." I praised him. I was like, thank you. Put it in. He was there from, I went to class. I was responsible. If my parents are listening, I was responsible yesterday. I went to class, did play FIFA 15. It's awesome. Went to class, came back around 7 o'clock and he was still playing. So he already has an ultimate team. He's ready to go.
What time did you play it till?
I played 2 games and then was it.
You were up to, so you weren't up till 1 o'clock.
I was not. Were you?
I was up till 1. I was...
So, let me ask a question. Were you playing all day?
I played pretty much all day. I came in here for an hour and a half, did my podcast, and then I went back straight upstairs. Like, I pulled the fat boy move. I got my MLS set up. I got my MLS. I got my FIFA game set up. All right? I started doing my manager mode. All right? Because that's really the first thing that you got to do now when you get these FIFA games, because... You got your club, you want to win a championship, and you don't want to wait till May to see your team hoist a trophy. That's why we do it now. And I called up Sophia's, got 2 large cheese pizzas. I was in heaven for about 5 hours.
Wow. Wow.
Done. That's done. That... Didn't need to move anywhere. What's great is that if you have the Xbox One, you could snap and watch TV at the same time.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
So, you're
so like, I'm watching TV.
We're still stuck with Xbox 360.
God, you got to get on that one level.
We'll try. I mean,
we should give out an Xbox One here.
We should.
How amazing would that be if we?
Not
start
only are we going on a college tour, we're giving out Xbox Ones.
We are doing it all. All right. This is where you want it. Like, come on. Free
Not
Xboxes.
Only are we invading this MLS Super Draft, we're invading your living room. We're bringing your Xbox One to your living room.
Here's one, actually. And we're going on college tours. So, Super Draft, college tours, yeah. And we're invading your living rooms.
And speakers.
Yeah, we should add a video content to this soon, huh?
We should.
Now that we're doing a rebrand, I guess Brian's working on a website. I guess that's happening, too. I was told that I have to start writing. Like, we're actually going to be our own little media conglomerate over here.
Yeah,
I got
a text from you last night saying, hey, prepare to write on the website. I was like, oh, man.
So there you go. Joining us on the program now, as promised, assistant men's soccer coach for your Boston College Eagles, an MLS, really a coaching legend, if you will, and a longtime coach on the college level, Mr. John Murphy. Coach, welcome on to the program today. It's Kevin Tom. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem. First off, it's been an up and down season for you guys. Obviously, we'll get into that in a little bit. You guys sit at 500 comfortably right now. A big game coming up against Duke on Friday night. We'll talk about that as well. But let's get to know you a little bit more, Coach. John Murphy, tell us a little about yourselves. You're a local guy, so you know the area pretty well, huh?
Yeah, I do, and that's when you call me a legend, you're going to have about 150 people in the area calling immediately, telling you otherwise. So that's part of the problem of going home. Everybody knows who you really are. So now I am. I'm from Quincy and grew up on the South Shore and was involved with the game as it really started to take root in the Boston area. Certainly its growth, late 70s into the early 80s, and then went played at Massasoit Community College, was part of a great team there. We won a national championship and then went into coaching from there and worked at various places, including Massasoit, Brown, UMass Boston and Assumption. So I've really seen it at all different kinds of levels before I stepped into MLS with the Revs in 2000, and that's taken me a lot of different places. And Eddie Kelly called me last spring and asked me if I was interested in coming up and joining him. I told him that I would, and I'm really happy that I'm back home. Eddie's a great guy. It's an excellent program at BC. And it's good to be back in New England. Traffic and weather.
Don't forget the traffic.
Yeah, that's it. So no, everything's been great, and I've been fortunate. I've got a chance to kind of follow my dream and go to different places and meet some great contacts and relationships along the way, without a doubt.
You've also won a ECAC Division II championship when you were at Assumption. We talk about your coaching career. Really, it's taken you everywhere. You were at Assumption College from 98 to 2000. Your last stint before joining Coach Ed Kelly, as you just said, you were at Anderson University for two seasons before joining the Eagles last spring. You've seen many different levels of college soccer. How does D1, D2, and D3 match up against each other?
Well, I think what you're going to look at when you look at the different levels is probably the athletic piece. Certainly in this part of the world, the Division III teams and Division II teams would have talent that would be, could match up with a lot of Division I's in the area. I think what's missing at those schools, is one, the athletic piece. Not that these kids are not athletic, but the Division I, certainly the ACC, you got to have that little extra juice. Certainly if it's not physical, then it has to be upstairs where you really, you have to think two plays ahead, where the lower divisions would be a little bit more forgiving, but certainly Southern New Hampshire University, I think, could go and play a lot of Division I's in this area and not only give them a good game, probably beat a couple of them as well. So, and certainly Williams and all the Division III's in this part of the world are very, very strong. So I think it's like anything. It was the same thing at the pro level. You have to show respect for your opponent. I remember us, the Revs, losing to mid-Michigan Bucks in 2000. And we had three, four guys that had played in World Cups, you know, just, you know, 4, 5, 6 years previous to that game. And it just shows you that anybody in a soccer game, if they're organized properly and well-coached, can knock off a big team. So the differences are very, very small. But anyone who says it's exactly the same, I don't think that's accurate. The athletic piece certainly is big at this level.
Assistant Boston College men's soccer coach John Murphy joining us on the program now. All right, let's talk about the team. You're 3-3-1 on the year. You opened up the season with a tie. You rattled off three straight wins, but you've now lost three in a row, including two conference games, which a tough 2-0 loss to Clemson, and then a real devastating 3-2 loss to Louisville at home on the 19th. You had three games in a matter of 7 days. How did that affect your team fitness-wise, and how did they recover from that now that they've had a week off and they can prepare for Duke?
Well, I mean, it's nice to be young. I mean, young kids are resilient. They're physically resilient, and they'll always bounce back. I think where certainly someone with Eddie's experience and hopefully my experience as well, what we can help them do is mentally bounce back. So we certainly don't want to be losing three games on the trot, but it is what it is. We have to move on from that. I think there's lots of positives in the team. It's a very, very good team attacking going forward. We create plenty of chances. And we're probably like a lot of attacking teams. You saw it last year with Liverpool near the end of the season, you know, maybe lacking a little bit of that steel, a little bit of that tactical mindset to kind of close games down and shut people down. So obviously that's a cynical part of the game, but the best teams have that. So hopefully we've learned. I hope we don't have to lose many more games before those lessons take hold. But they've trained very, very well. The mindset's good. You know, Johnny Kerr does a great job down in Duke. It's not going to be an easy game. It will be on ESPN3 on Friday evening. So it's great. There'll be a national TV audience, and I think our kids will be very, very excited about that.
Coach, you mentioned you're playing the Blue Devils of Duke on Friday night. What are you guys doing to prepare yourselves? I know we mentioned a little bit before we started the interview, but what are you guys doing as a team and a coaching staff to prepare against the Dukies on Friday night?
It's top secret. I can't tell you guys. no, I think it's...
What are you, Bill Belichick?
Yeah, no, really. I think that, you know, certainly when you're in the position that we were in and you lose a couple games in a row, you start to turn the focus back on to yourselves and see what you can do better. And obviously, you know, goals, giving up goals, where we're giving up goals, when we're giving up goals, I think those are things that need to be addressed and tightened up, which we've done. We've watched a bit of video we've got some training sessions in. You know, the kids, you know, we'll use our fitness coaches as well. So there's a little bit of that integrated as well. Certainly great for confidence and you know, feeling good about yourself physically. So there's a lot of combination of a lot of things. And, you know, Eddie's very good one-on-one. He's very good at pulling kids aside and telling them things they need to hear in a manner that, you know, is effective. And especially at this level, it's a little different than the pro game where maybe you have a week in between. You know, you really do have to get your points in quick because the games come very, very, very fast. And we have to move on quickly from one game to the next. So I think it's been a combination of a lot of things. But again, the kids have taken it on board. Attitude's fantastic from the kids. And, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, getting back on the field.
You know, we look at your schedule, Coach, and we see a lot of top quality ACC teams in there. You also got Brown and BU in there as well to see, along with Dartmouth, the rest of this season. The one thing that sticks out to me when I look at this schedule setup, and it's a problem with the NCAA that I've had for a while now, is that there's so many games crammed into the month of September, October, and November that it really doesn't give you guys, I don't think as a coaching staff, enough time to prepare for games and at least get the 100% fitness that you would get from players if they were playing internationally or on the professional level. So can you speak about the NCAA scheduling and whether or not that affects, and obviously you said it has to be a professional mindset, and I respect that completely, but does it affect you guys at all that you have to play these amount of games in such a short amount of time?
Well, of course it does, and I think that, you know, probably every sport has you know, has the concerns about the timelines that are presented, and I think, you know, traditionally what's happened, you know, the NCAA has come back quite rightly saying these guys are student athletes, they go to school first, and they're athletes second. But I think what's happened now, you know, the past 20 years or so, and I'd say it'd be the same in baseball, softball, field hockey, you know, there's year-round commitments from kids as youth going into high school and going into college, and now all of a sudden you're cutting the season down to three and a half months. You know, the kids aren't built that way, and I think obviously in a shorter amount of time, you're more conducive to being injured and you know, player welfare and burnout, all these different things that I think have to be taken into consideration. So I know there's people in the higher up positions within our sport and hopefully within the NCAA that are looking at these things, and hopefully there'll be some changes over time, and certainly you know, education needs to come first. But you know what you allude to with the short time to be able to recover from one game to the next, yeah, it'll affect the quality of the game. But if you want to really delve down to bottom line things that are going to really get an athletic director's attention and the NCAA's attention, is, you know, student athlete welfare and physically and mentally, you know, struggling because of the short timeline. So hopefully these things can be done. They're not easy things to remedy, but hopefully over time we can come to some logical conclusions that will benefit, you know, obviously the kids themselves and then the universities administratively and financially.
Awesome. John Murphy, associate Boston College men's soccer coach, joining us today. Moving over now to your coaching staff, obviously we know you and Ed Kelly commanding the sidelines on the pitch for the BC Eagles this year, but two other names that are fairly interesting, volunteer assistants, one a former Eagle, one maybe a wannabe Eagle from my standpoint of things. Boston College's own Charlie Davies coming back and investing some time with the program, and he brought along an MVP candidate in Lee Wynn to volunteer their time and help with the boys when they're not training themselves. How have they helped the program?
I mean, you can't help but, you know, get excited when guys like that walk on the field. I get excited. I think, and certainly the kids really take to them very well. First of all, they're great guys. Charlie appreciates everything Ed has done for him over the years, and that's his way of kind of giving back to the program. And then he asked if we could tag along too, and of course, you'd be crazy to say no. So, you know, two super guys. Certainly Ed and I are at points in our lives now where we're not going to be sitting and having chats with the kids like we used to when we were younger coaches. So it's nice to have two guys like that are not only, you know, in the prime of their playing careers, but they're young enough. They're young enough they can connect with the kids on a different level. And anytime they come to practice, they came yesterday, the kids light up, the kids really get excited. And it certainly helps. It certainly helps. Their insights, not only what, you know, what they say, but how they're playing for the Revolution right now, you know, speaks volumes about them. So I think it's a fantastic arrangement for us. It just shows the kind of pull that Eddie has with former players and certainly with the pro game around here. So it's really worked out well for everybody, and the super, super guys. I've met Charlie before, but I never really knew Lee, and he's just a fantastic guy. So we're very fortunate to have these guys helping us.
And that's great. They come out and help the team. Now we're going to stick it with your coaching career. You know, you led two teams to conference finals in the MLS. Do you think this BC Eagles team, do you think you guys can reach the NCAA finals?
Well, I think it's like a lot of things. There has to be a progression. There has to be a timeline. And with such a young team, you know, you can look over multiple seasons and hopefully you see growth. In the short term, what we're trying to do is, you know, you're trying to get some positive results while you're learning on the job, which isn't easy. So I think we have to be realistic in where we are. I think in the ACC, with your RPI being so strong, if, you know, we can get a 500 record within the ACC and you do well with your non-league games, I think that would put you in a good position for an NCAA berth. So I think we had some good, solid team goals at the beginning of the season. I don't think those should change necessarily because we've lost a couple in a row here. I think we just need to right the ship. And if we can do that on Friday, I think that'll put us back on course, you know, for some of the big goals that we have for this team. So Eddie's had fantastic teams over the years, a lot of success. I think the NCAA is an annual goal for Boston College men's soccer, and hopefully it's one that we can achieve this season.
Now you guys have that new stadium built on the Newton campus, which I got to see for the first time this summer, and it's gorgeous. And I know it's on the Newton campus, and I know, you know, students who don't live on Newton campus, you know, they kind of make a fuss about getting over to Newton campus for class, and it's just a freshman area. So what do you guys, as a coaching staff and a team together, what do you guys do to make students and fans come down? I know some fans have to take the Newton campus shuttle. So what are you guys doing to kind of promote your home games?
Well, I think the first thing you can do, and it's the same thing with the Revs, it's the same thing with, you know, any team, is you need to be successful. You need to put a product on the field that people are going to want to come watch. So, you know, our game the other night against Louisville, I think we had, you know, 2,200 people. It was a great crowd. It was actually an overflow crowd. And there's discussions about developing the facility a little further where we can get additional seating, perhaps even behind one of the goals, and then you get a real home field advantage, certainly with your fans behind the opposing goalkeeper. So
sounds like you're going to have a soccer specific stadium before the Revs.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, I think we have the space and we're trying to develop it, and fortunately we have great support from the Boston College community and the local community. But we do different things. We had NEFC night the other day, and you know, Newton U Soccer has their own night, Brookline U Soccer. You know, we're pretty involved in the area. These are things that we help to do, that we try and run to help promote these games. But like I said, bottom line, if we have a good team, people want to come watch us play. The ACC games obviously have a lot of cachet. We've had Clemson and Louisville. We still have UNC coming, NC State coming. I mean, these are good games. These are games that I would think anybody would want to come watch. So I would certainly encourage any of our listeners to come down and check it out. It's a great venue. I think it would be exciting to watch some top teams around the country play and hopefully watch a Boston College victory.
A couple more questions with Coach Murphy, who's graciously joining us on the Pitch Invaders podcast today. New pod, new name, new home, same crew. And with Coach, we talk about earlier a great caliber of alumni that have come with Boston College. We talked about Charlie Davies. Another name that sticks out, a former member of your U.S. men's national team, Alejandro Bedoya, midfielder. There's a lot of great talent that has come through the Boston College system, alumni that stick out. So we have already acknowledged that this is a great soccer area, Coach. So for recruits or for players aspiring to play college soccer right now, what could they look forward to playing for the BC Eagles?
Well, I think if you're fortunate enough to come to Boston College, I think you have an academic institution that's gone from a regional, you know, strong academic school to really an international university and academically very, very strong, all the things that have made BC great over the years. When BC joined the ACC, you know, for me, now you've really stepped up a level. And, you know, with the exception of a handful of schools, I think UCLA might be one that comes to mind. Boston College, you really have the combination of very strong academic, very strong men's soccer. The ACC is, you know, unquestionably the best soccer, men's soccer conference in the country. And then the proximity to a large international, you know, city in Boston. So there's some fantastic schools around the country. There's certainly fantastic schools within the ACC. But, you know, you have a lot of them that are limited in where they are and the resources that are available to them. So, you know, to have, you know, a great city like Boston just right down the street, a fantastic campus and academics, and then the strong soccer, I mean, you really can't ask for anything more than that. So it's a very attractive school to top kids. We get interest from all over the world, certainly all over the country. But you've seen from Ed Kelly over the years, his roster is always, you know, sprinkled with New England kids. And he's always had those types of kids on the field for him. So, you know, I don't think that's ever going to change, no matter how big the school gets academically or its reputation. We're always going to have good New England kids playing for us. And hopefully that encourages local kids to come watch us play, and, you know, they can aspire to be an Eagle someday.
All right, last one before we let you go. You've seen teams make it to the conference finals on both the Eastern and Western Conference side. You alluded to it before. You were with the New England Revolution from 2000 to 2004. This team has been streaky all season long. Jermaine Jones has made them a dangerous contender. Where do you think, when it's all said and done, the New England Revolution finish this year?
Well, I think you can put yourself into to win an MLS Cup. I mean, we did it in 2002, and we certainly didn't have the best team, but we had good goalkeeping, we had a good team spirit, we had a kid like Taylor Twellman who could score goals and change games, and we went all the way to the final, and we're unlucky to lose to LA in the final. So I think this current Revolution team, you know, you need to get into the playoffs first, and I think as Bill Parcells says, you have to make the tournament, you know, when he's talking about the NFL, and it's the same thing with MLS. I think you got to get into the playoff. Once you get into the playoff, I think most of those teams are capable of going and winning it. And certainly I think the Revolution have that. In regards to streaky, it's a streaky league, so it's very rare when you look at the teams and they're comprehensively winning all their games. I mean, Seattle's in the lead for the Supporters Shield right now, and they've had little blips, and L.A. has gone through their hard times. So all I know about New England, Jay Heap's a winner. He was a winner when he played New England when I was there, and the guy is gone from a great player, and he's eventually going to become a great coach, and he's on his way to doing that right now. So you can see the change. I think Lee, I agree with you, was an MVP candidate at the time. Charlie's really starting to show some of his old form. And yeah, Jermaine Jones coming in, now you have a seasoned veteran, a guy that knows what it takes to win, solidifying the middle of the park for you. You know, they have all the pieces. They have all the pieces. You need to be healthy at the end, and obviously you need some things to go your way. You know, but if you're winning at the end of the season, which it looks like New England is starting to do, I think that puts you in a great spot to go into the playoffs with a little bit of momentum.
The 3-3-1 Boston College Eagles take on the Duke Blue Devils in Durham, North Carolina this Friday night, 7 o'clock on ESPN3. Make sure you check out Coach Kelly and Coach Murphy on the sidelines leading your Eagles to victory, not the Philadelphia ones. Coach Murphy, thank you for the time today. I really do appreciate it. And follow Boston College Eagles men's soccer on Twitter at BC_MSOCCER, BC_MSoccer. Coach, thank you very much for the time today.
Great, guys. Thank you.
Great stuff with Coach Murph.
That was excellent.
You're a BC guy, and you clearly know the area well. Like, I'm sitting over here trying to map out where you've been. Oh, yeah, just go over to the freshman part of the league. They don't hate it. They hate it all over there. Like, you know BC like the back of your hand, and I'm sitting here going like, wow, I'm really uneducated.
I like to tell myself in another life I would be a student at Boston College.
Well, you can always go there for your master's.
I could, but, you know, we'll see.
It's different. It's different.
It's different, yes.
You have to be more mature when you go for your master's.
Yes.
But at least you could say you went to Boston College. That looks good on your resume.
But the thing is, with BC, it's a good layout. The T is right there. Literally, you pull up, the T up goes right to the campus, so you get off the tee, you walk campus. But they have a separate campus called Newton Campus where the men's soccer team plays. And it's all freshmen who live on that side. So when you're applying to be a freshman at Boston College, you're praying that you don't end up on Newton Campus.
Because you're in no man's land.
Absolutely. And you're stuck with all freshmen. Not saying that part's a bad thing, but you have to take a shuttle to all your classes. And it's not an easy walk. So, you know, if they think, you know, if students can walk from Newton Campus to main campus, you're in for a long walk, buddy. So,
buddy.
So,
don't bring your lunch money, buddy.
So
it sounded like
it's pretty amazing how wide out the campus is and how far Newton campus is. So, when the men's team is playing, students have to either take a car or get the shuttle over to the stadium, which again is a beautiful stadium. I know you said you checked it out. Yeah. It's nice. Nice turf field. I was able to play a little soccer there over the summer, which was nice. Had a good time. Very nice stadium. I thought they did a nice job because where they used to play, it's still there. I'm sure you saw it. It's that AstroTurf kind of stadium.
Right behind the alumni stadium.
Yeah. So
there you go. This just came across my computer screen. I guess this came out last night. And it's gaining some weight now. Andre Pirlo, you know that legend?
Of course.
Okay.
Italia.
Getting old. And what do players that play in Europe do when they start getting old?
They come to America.
Coming to America. That's what we should play every time we hear a European footballer linked with an American franchise. We have to play Coming to America from now on when we ever hear some of these reports.
I'm in. But it might get old to us because if we could start seeing a lot of players coming over. So we could be playing it once and then we hear another one so to play it again. So, but it is. And what team is he linked to? Do you know?
Yes. He is linked to Los Angeles.
Don't tell me you have it. Oh, man.
He's linked to Los Angeles. I guess good enough for Alexi Lawless to talk about it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. On the boats and on the planes. See, I'm not surprised you had this.
I got made fun of for my music choices yesterday, so I might as well go back into my bag of tricks. All right, that's enough of that. Pirlo. To L.A. That would be a good thing, huh?
It would be great for the MLS. And like I said, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of guys coming.
Is this better?
Oh, Jimi Hendrix.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Keep it rolling, man.
All right. So, again, here's a recap. Pitch Invaders podcast. No more the cue spot. You can throw out your cues.
Kiss it goodbye.
Bye-bye. Kiss your P's and Q's goodbye. I like that one. Pitch Invaders podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at Podcast Invaders. I'm Tom Quinlan. I don't have a Twitter. I don't need one anymore. So we have a show Twitter now. I don't feel like I need to go out there and try to, you know, justify what I say on Twitter anymore, which feels great. And a shout out to Brian Speaks. Everybody just go follow at Brian_Speaks, the producer of the Podcast Invasion Show, or the Pitch Invasion Podcast Show, excuse me.
Oh, man,
I'm screwing
already,
up my own name. I made up the name, too. That's what's even worse. And I'm screwing it up. What? Okay. Follow Kev Coleman on Twitter, at KColeman39. And keep up with WMLN 91.5. That's where Kev is. You can catch him wherever. You're on 91.5 WMLN. So tell people where they can catch you every Monday.
You can catch me every Monday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And, of course, you can catch me on every men's soccer game. Of course, we're lucky enough to have Tom on the...
Lucky or... Like, you guys were, they were 5-0, and then I come in and they lose 3-1.
No, listen, still, we were lucky enough to have Tom Quinlan come in, broadcast a game with me. Didn't we have a blast?
We did have a blast.
Even though the Curry team lost, we still had a great time broadcasting game. It was homecoming.
Two in a row.
Ugh. Unfortunately, the Curry men team lost 3-0 the other night, but they're looking to bounce back. And hopefully...
big one for the Colonels tonight. They take on Springfield College. I got faith in Pete Mendel. That's a name that you should be keeping an eye on for coaches in this area, at least.
Let's go, Colonels.
Kev Coleman, you're the man.
No, you're the man.
All right, we'll see you next time. Pitch Invasion Podcast. Let it begin. And I got